Good morning. Just want to add a couple of things. First of all, ladies, I just encourage you to get signed up for that ladies' retreat. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. It'll be something that you'll remember for a long time. I believe it'll be life-changing for you. So I just encourage you. You know, you might say, well, I don't know that many people at Grace. This is a great way, believe me, for you to meet some other ladies and get involved, make some new friends that will be a blessing to your walk with the Lord. And so I just encourage you to get signed up. If you don't have $35 to go, I am certain that we can find a sponsor for you. And in fact, if you would like to sponsor somebody, if you'll go back there to the table also and let them know that, we just want to make sure everybody gets to go that wants to go. Amen. Also, I encourage you, moms and dads, bring your kids for that celebration of light. You know, I'm not going to make a big spiritual deal out of it this morning, but it is not a time to celebrate darkness and every evil image, and I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just going to say we need to celebrate the light, all right? And it is a good time for you to teach and train your children not to look to the things of darkness. You know, it's really amazing how that the devil has taken this Hallows Eve and gets even believers to take part in it. And so we just want to celebrate the light. I'm not going to preach about it this morning. I better leave it alone. I know some of you, I'm stirring you up already, but I'm just telling you, you need to raise them up to worship and serve the Lord. And, you know, it's important, some of those things that you do in their early days. So it's a blessing, you know. The kids will have a great time. I really believe you bring them here at 6 o'clock, they'll want to stay till 8, and they'll have a great time. And you get that extra hour. Now, some of you need to give up that extra hour because it will be a good time for you to make the switch to the early service. If you forget to set your clock back, you'll be here at 9:45, and you'll be here just in time. You'll have missed the worship, but you can come in and hear the preaching of God's Word. Now, so I just want to encourage you, by the way, this will be a good time for some of you that have thought about it to make the switch to the early service. And why is the pastor talking about this? Because this service has been getting pretty full. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for that. But we need some of you to kind of shift over to that early service because, you know, as new people come to the church, they usually come to the second service. We have new people that come into the first service, but most of the time, most of our new people come to the second service. And so, as most growing churches do, we're going to and have multiple services, we're going to have to shift. Now, I know some of you are spiritual enough that's a little bitty thing you can do to help new people coming into the church, right? So just encourage you, this is a great week to do that. And besides, I'm just letting you know, the people that are really on fire for God come to the first service. And so, all right, we got to pray after that one, right? Pray with me. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. It is spirit and is life to us. Lord, we believe that it is a Word that is for us today. It's powerful and alive, and it speaks to our hearts and lives. And so, Father, I just pray, I ask for your help. I ask for the anointing of your Spirit, and I ask that the Spirit of God would open our hearts and minds to receive from your Word. And Lord, I pray that this life-changing Word, Lord, that it would accomplish what you've sent it to do, will not return void, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus said in Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. They asked him, what is the most important command? What's the most important thing? What is the greatest command? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I want to talk to you this morning about having a closeness with the Lord. Loving Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Making Him the love of your life. Being passionately in love with Jesus. It is about relationship with Him. Truly giving Him first place in your life, to serve Him with a whole heart, Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, nobody can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Sooner or later, you have to make a choice. That's what he's saying. You can't serve two. Sooner or later, you're going to choose one over the other. You're going to love one and hate the other. There's going to come a place where you have to choose because you can't serve both. And Jesus uses the example of money. So often, the Lord addresses this issue because it's still true today that so often people put money before the things of God. But here's the bottom line. You can't serve both. You got to choose. We have to serve the Lord with the whole heart. Not a divided heart, but with all of our heart. You know, Jesus said about the people of His day that their hearts had become calloused. And in the generation that we live in today, I'm telling you, there are so many things that pull on us in so many different directions that would attempt to erode away our devotion to the Lord. Jesus said in the last days that the love of many would grow cold. Not that it would just turn cold overnight, but it will grow cold. Just over time, they may not even realize what's happening, but their love would grow cold. I don't want to be one of those. I want to be somebody that stays on fire for God, that keeps a passionate love for the Lord all the days of my life. But I'm telling you, it won't happen by accident. You're going to have to intentionally keep your passion and your zeal for the Lord. Because this world has so many attractions and pulls and things where, you know what, we could just get so busy that we drift away and don't even realize what's happening. The love of many will grow cold. A lot of people today, you know, they want the Lord to bless them. I preached this last week. The Lord wants to bless you. And on Wednesday nights right now, we are continuing that series to find out how we can experience all the blessings that God has for us, because the Scripture is full of promise after promise of blessings. But a lot of people today in the church in America just want the blessings. They're just seeking the blessing, not the blesser. They want the abundant life. Give me that good life. But they're not seeking the source of life. And I'm telling you this morning, it is about a relationship with Him. You see, when we love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, then everything else comes together. You see, we get the relationship right, and all the other stuff works. But you don't have the relationship right, and none of the rest of it works. It's a heart issue. It's about a relationship with you and the Lord. You know, sometimes as a believer, it can be difficult to realize when you're drifting away. It's like the guy that he goes down to the beach and gets him a raft, and he's going to get out on the water, relax a little bit, and he lays on that raft and closes his eyes. And after a little while, he opens his eyes and realizes he sees how far he has drifted out that he can barely make out the shore. And you know, sometimes it's like that when we're serving the Lord and just kind of enjoying life, that if we're not careful, we don't even realize that we're drifting away. All through the Scripture, you see this with the Israelites, how that during the good times, they would drift away from God. The Lord even warned them about it, that when you're blessed and everything's going good, remember me. Amen. And you know, sometimes when things are going right and, you know, we say, I'm good. And the whole time we're beginning to drift away. And it's not until we realize where we are. Sometimes it even takes something bad, something negative happening in life for us to realize that we've drifted away and we need to return to the Lord. Sad thing is sometimes when people then have those bad things and negative things happen in their life, rather than returning to the Lord, they blame the Lord. And I want to encourage you this morning that it's important that you keep your relationship with Jesus on fire, that you keep that love for Him, that you love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. You know, when people drift away, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow process of just a few small compromises, a few small wrong choices, and we can find ourselves saying, how did I get here? You know, when you say, how did somebody get out of church? It started with one service. They missed one service. It always starts with just one service. Listen, been a lot of mornings that I turned over and looked at my wife and said, I'm tired. Let's just stay home today. It doesn't ever work for me. She just kicks me out of bed and we show up. But I'm telling you, it just takes that one time where you say, well, I'm tired, or I got things I want to get done today. This is my only time. It starts with one. Now, anybody that misses one time, you know, if you say to them, well, I guess that you're going to get out of church now, they'd say, oh, no, I just missed one time. It's no big deal. But you see, what happens so often is that there's one, and then there's another, and then there's another, and they get a little closer together, and before long, they're saying, you know, I don't really need to go to church. I can worship the Lord out here on the lake just as good as I can down there with all those hypocrites. But the truth is that they've drifted away from the Lord. Their relationship with God is not what it once was. Their passion, their devotion is not what it once was. Maybe you catch yourself saying things that at one time you wouldn't have said. Maybe doing things that at a more committed time in your walk with the Lord, you wouldn't have done. Or maybe there are things that, you know, Maybe there are things where you would have gotten involved in ministry and you would have jumped in and been a part, but now you sit back. I'm telling you, those are indicators that maybe your commitment, your passion, your relationship with the Lord is not what it once was. You find yourself coming to church just out of ritual or just to see your friends, not really coming with a passionate heart to worship God. Many times in Scripture, the Lord makes this statement. He says, return to me. Return to me. See, the question is not whether or not we're His, whether it's whether or not we are fully His. When you ask people where they are spiritually, a lot of times people get defensive. They want to justify. They want to make excuses. But it's not really a question of whether or not you're born again. The question really is, are we as close to God as we could be? It's amazing to me how much of the church wants to see how close they can live to the world and still be a child of God. When the desire of our heart ought to be as close to God as we can possibly be. It's not what I can get away with. You see, it's a heart issue. It's about a relationship. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about a relationship with Him, that if we truly love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we're going to want to be as close to Him as we can be. We're going to want to serve Him in every way we can. Return to me. That's what the Lord says. And you know what? That's what He's always wanted, is for people to return to Him. He wants to reconcile the world to Himself through Christ. But I believe that today, to the body of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, return to me. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, He says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. I'm so grateful that He is gracious, that He's forgiving, that He is loving. Amen. That He's merciful. But here is what He is saying is, return to me. Come back to me. And He tells us here in Joel chapter 2, return with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, and rend your heart. And I want to tell you, church, that we need that kind of repentance in the body of Christ. We need that kind of passion, that kind of hunger for God, where there's weeping, where there's mourning. It sure is quiet in here right now, but I'm telling you, church, even when the worst of sinners in our generation comes to the Lord, many times we don't see any weeping, we don't see any mourning, we don't see godly sorrow that works repentance, and we need that in the church today. I tell you, it needs to begin with God's people. And where we've made compromises in our life and made excuses and justifications for not obeying the Lord, we need repentance. We need to return to Him. And He is gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love, because He wants us to return. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to begin with verse 6. And you might turn there because we're going to be there a little while. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. He has not changed. Now, there is an implied comparison here. He says, I have not changed. But His people are so wishy-washy. They've been in and out and up and down. All through the Old Testament, you see that one day they're serving the Lord, and then just a little while later, they're totally rebelling and not serving God, running after other things. Then they're serving the Lord again. But He never changes. And I tell you, it's the same in our generation. People are wishy-washy, in and out, up and down. There's no real commitment, no real dedication. I say there's none. There are some. Church, we need to have that returning to the Lord that we can say, I love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'd do anything for Jesus. I'm going to serve Him with all my heart. Amen. He's not just has a place in my life. He is my life. We need to return to the Lord with that kind of passion. He's saying to these people, I hadn't gone anywhere. See, sometimes we wake up and we say, wow, what happened? What's going on here? I'm having problems in my life. Where are you, Lord? He's right where He's always been. And if there's a problem, if there's an issue, I'm telling you, the issue is in your heart because the Lord hadn't changed. He still loves you. And He says this, return to me. You see, He wants that relationship with you. Notice that that turning away from His decrees is the same thing as turning away from Him. Listen, ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, some people profess to have a close relationship with the Lord while they willfully live in disobedience to His Word. And they make excuses and justifications for why they don't obey God's Word, but they willfully disobey God's Word. Now, I want you to understand, this is a heart issue. It is about your relationship with God. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done great things in your name. But I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I'm telling you, it's hypocrisy for us to claim to be close to God and yet to willfully disobey God and live our lives the way we want to live and do what we want. No, when we call Him Lord, then we make ourselves His servants. And we serve Him with the whole heart. You see, it's not about the do's and the don'ts. It is about a relationship with Him. Jesus said, those that love me, obey me. And I want to encourage you, this morning to see that when if we have willful disobedience in our life, I'm not talking about you messed up, but I'm talking about where you know that you, there are certain scriptures and commands that you are in disobedience to. I tell you, you need to return to the Lord. It is about your relationship with Him. You need to return back to the place where He is your all in all in everything. Listen, James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. See, anytime we've heard the word and we don't obey it, we don't do what it says, we have deceived our own selves. I'm telling you, the deception in the church in America today is epidemic. If people listen to the word and they pick and choose what they'll obey and what they'll do and what they won't do. And they deceive themselves. And the Lord is saying, return to me. Return to me. He makes this wonderful promise to us. Return to me and I will return to you. That same principle is given to us in the book of James. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, there's a message you don't hear much in the body of Christ, isn't it? Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here's that same invitation. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Then there's also this same issue of having a divided heart, of allowing disobedience in your life. Listen, He won't share you with another. He is a jealous God. There's that same problem of being double-minded. They were wishy-washy. And I'll tell you, that still goes on today where people say, well, you know, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So many people live in that spiritual condition. They're going to serve God as long as it doesn't interfere with their life. They love Him, but not really enough to deal with a divided heart. They decide to go to church, to get involved, to do something for God, but then they get busy, or they find some other priority in life, or they find a reason not to. I got my feelings hurt. I got a lot going on right now in my life. Well, it's just going to put more stress on me. Well, you know, the church, really, they just want my money anyway. See, whatever it is, we can find a reason, an excuse, a justification for not following through with our commitment and our devotion to the Lord, for not being involved in what God is doing. And I'll tell you, we need to come to the place where we realize it's really about a relationship with Him, that we return to Him with a whole heart. You know, there's a reason why money is such a sensitive issue and why we have such a hard time with it that in many churches today, they won't even take the offering. They just put a box at the back and say, you give your offering in the box as you leave, because they're so afraid of somebody being upset that they said something about the offering. They wouldn't have gone to Jesus' church, because Jesus said, where your money is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want to know where your heart is? Look where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus said you can't serve God and money. Why does He use that example, that heart issue over and over? Because it is one of the biggest heart issues that people have to deal with. You start touching the pocketbook and people get real sensitive. Listen, it's a sensitive issue because it's a heart issue. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now back to Malachi 6:7. But you ask, how are we to return? He says, return to me and I'll return to you. But you ask, how are we to return? Now see, I just want you to notice this. The Lord knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows the questions in our mind. He knows our excuses. And he says, you ask, how are we to return? Verse 8, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, Here he tells us again what the question is. But you ask, how do we rob you? And before we even read any further, I just want you to realize this is not just about money. It is about the heart. It is about your relationship with God. It is about trusting Him and obeying Him. And it doesn't matter whether it's money or some other issue in your life. It shows where your heart is by whether or not you obey Him. It shows whether or not you really have faith and trust Him by whether or not you obey Him. And it's really a hard issue. So I just want you to understand, he's talking about money here in this example, but it may be some other issue that you're just really having a hard time obeying God. And you can make your justifications and your excuses, but the truth is it comes down to a heart issue and your relationship with God. Can you trust Him enough to obey Him? Well, let's read on. How have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. I'm just going to obey the Lord, all right? I didn't say this in the early service. I guess they didn't need it, but I believe I'm supposed to say this right now. You know, one of the things that we've done in this church is we have a full-time youth pastor and a full-time children's pastor. And you know why we've done that? It is because that is the vision of our church. We believe there is a great harvest in reaching children and youth and young families. Now, we want to reach everybody. I said that very clearly, didn't I? We want to reach everybody, but we believe God has given us a vision and shown us that that is where the greatest harvest is, the greatest potential, and that we're to pursue that harvest. And that is a way that there is food in this house. Listen, that children's ministry is a quality children's ministry. It's not some little thrown together thing. I'm telling you, it is blessed. It is a powerful children's ministry that the Lord has given us. Same with our youth ministry. God is raising up young people that serve the Lord with a whole heart. And I'm just telling you, that's one way that the Lord has put food in this house. And so I thank the Lord for that. And you know, a lot of people don't realize that it's the tithes and offerings that God uses to do those things. Now I'm going to say this too. I'm just this crazy. God is our source. And although I just said it, He provides through the faithfulness of His people. I want to tell you, the Lord's going to bless. We're going to go on. We're going to accomplish the vision and the things that God has given us to do, whether you are a part of it or not. I believe that. He's going to raise up people to get it done. Amen. But now, I want to go ahead and finish with this passage of Scripture because, listen, He says, see, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. What a blessing. I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing you won't be able to contain it. Listen, we're talking about blessings right now on Wednesday night. Here's a great blessing. When you obey the Lord with your money, He opens the windows of heaven and pours out so much blessing you can't even contain it. Wow, what a blessing. I'll tell you, that is one of the greatest promises of blessing throughout all of Scripture. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. You know, a lot of times in life, it's just the things that happen that come in and destroy our finances. Whether it's, you know, the car breaks down, or somebody got sick in the family, or a thousand other, you know, things go bad in the economy, a thousand different ways that the enemy can come in, the devourer can come in, and you just say, well, where did the money go? But I'll tell you, the Lord will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now you say, well, Nick, this week my car breaks down, well, why didn't the Lord rebuke the devourer? I'm telling you, God will make a way. He will provide for you. He is Jehovah Jireh. The key is that when you obey Him and you turn that over to Him, then He will take care of you. He's going to bless you. That's what He's promised right here. Let's read on. Then the nations will even call you blessed. Listen, even the people around you that aren't believers will call you blessed for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now, there's a common deception in the body of Christ. Listen, it goes back to that same heart issue. It's really a heart issue. But the deception is, well, that was under the law. That doesn't apply to us. First of all, it was not part of the law. It started with Abraham. It started with Abraham. Abraham tithed, and we read about it not only in Genesis, but in Hebrews chapter 7, that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. But you know that Jesus also approved of the tithe and said we should tithe? Well, it's in Luke 11:42. He says to the Pharisees, "Woe to you because you give God a tenth of your mint and rue and all other kinds of garden herbs." See, they were meticulous about it. They tithed off everything. But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter. You should have practiced justice and the love of God without leaving the former undone. He didn't say you weren't supposed to tithe. He said you should have practiced love and justice and done the former. So even Jesus spoke of it and made it clear that tithing was for us in the New Testament. But you know what's so amazing to me is why wouldn't anybody want to be in on this deal? Amen. If it's not for you, that's fine. I'm telling you, it's for me. Yes. That I give God a tenth and I give God my offerings and He opens the windows of heaven. I want in on this deal. It's for me. I'm claiming it's for me. Yes. If you don't want to believe it's for you, that's between you and God. But it's for me. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want in on that deal. But he goes on, how do we return? How do we return? We return by obeying in the areas where we have not fully obeyed. See, if we have willfully disobeyed, then we need to repent. We need to willfully obey. As long as we refuse to obey him in some area of our life, then we cannot be as close as we want to claim. Listen to me. I'm not saying that your righteousness is by works. No, we are righteous by faith. It is not based on our works. You can't earn it. Listen, we're saved by grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But I want you to understand, this is a heart issue. You see, if you won't obey God where you know what you're supposed to do or you know what you're not supposed to do and you won't obey God, it's a heart issue. And we need to be real. We need to be honest with God and realize that there's something going on in our heart. If there are areas of our life where we're not obeying God, where we refuse to obey the Scripture, we say, oh, but I'm saved no matter what. And, you know, as long as it's all by faith, it doesn't matter what I do. No, there's a heart problem going on. It's really about your relationship with Him. And there's so much deception in the body of Christ today that it doesn't matter what I do. Listen, if we truly believe, if we have a real faith, it will change the way we live. It will change our actions. See, if we're not walking in obedience to the Lord, it's a matter of our heart being divided and not truly allowing Him to be Lord in our life. James chapter 2, I want to begin reading from verse 20. He says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." Now, some people want to put James and Paul on opposite sides of the fence and say that Paul taught righteousness by faith, and James here in the New Testament is teaching it that it's by works. And that's not right at all. James is saying is that your righteousness by faith is completed by how you live. That faith that just talks faith and doesn't live faith is not a real faith. And I'm telling you this morning, when we are disobeying God and living in disobedience, but we want to say everything's cool with me and God though. No, it's not. It's time for repentance. It's time to What did he say? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, it's a heart issue. It's time to return to him with a whole heart. The scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. It is because that faith has to be lived out in our life. Real faith will change the way you live, change the way you act. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. See, when we have a real and a living faith, yes, it is credited to us as righteousness because it changes the way we live and the way we act and what we do. It is not just something we say, but it is something that we live out. It's a living faith. It's a heart issue. Another way that we realize we need to return to him is that we have left our first love. Our love for him is no longer the driving force in our life. We've allowed other things to become more important. Somehow our priorities are not what they once were. And the Lord addresses this with the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. First, he commends them for the things they've done right. But in verse 4 and 5, he says this, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. So how do we return to our first love? It's by doing the first works. He says, repent and go back and do the things you did at first. It's a return to the basics. Prayer has to be the priority of your life. Not because we want something, but because we want Him, because we love Him. It's our lifeline. It is our source of strength. It is the one thing in our life that is absolutely necessary. See, we get so caught up in all of the responsibilities, that's what we call them, all the busyness of life, that we forget or we set aside the most important thing in life, which is our relationship with the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you don't have time to fix your hair or put your makeup on, that's for the ladies, guys, all right? If you don't have time to eat your breakfast, you don't have time to get your workout in or see the morning news or read the paper, if you don't have time to do anything else, prayer is the first priority of your life. I'm talking about a passionate relationship with Jesus and Him being your first love. Not if I get around to it, Lord, I might talk to you. But that He truly is your first love. If you want Jesus to be your first love, then you go back and you do the first works. You make prayer the priority of your life. See, when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, and Martha was busy trying to get dinner ready and taking care of all the stuff, and Mary just sat at the feet of Jesus, Martha comes in and she's all upset, and the Lord says to her, you are worried and upset about many things. Sounds like a lot of believers today. They're all anxious and upset and running here and there trying to do life. And they got their priorities all out of whack. So I'm telling you, make Jesus the priority of your life. You start putting Him first, and you'll see how things will change. You just think if you just push a little harder, run a little harder, try a little harder. No. You get your priorities right and you love Him first. This is what He said to Martha. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it'll not be taken away from her. Choose what's best. Amen. Make that prayer time a priority in your life. Your time with Jesus is precious, and you show your love for Him by the fact that you make time for Him. You're devoted to Him. Another first work is our love for God's Word. We love His Word because we desire to know Him. We want to know all about Him. It is His love letter to us, but it reveals to us who He is and what He's like, and it shows us how to please Him and how to serve Him, and so we love His Word. And you know, just like in Jesus' day, there were teachers of the law who studied the Scripture and memorized it so that they could argue their doctrine and prove they were right. And there are still people today who study the Scripture to argue doctrine and prove they're right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're in love with Jesus, you want to read the Word of God because it tells you about Jesus, because it speaks to you about who He is. And you want to study the Word of God because you want to please Him. The Bible says, find out what pleases the Lord. And you want to find out how to please Him and how to live for Him and how to serve Him. But one of those first works is a love for the Word of God. I remember as a young man, totally sold out to the Lord, I carried my Bible with me everywhere I went. And I'm not telling you that you got to carry a Bible with you. I know y'all all have it memorized, so you don't need to carry it, right? I'm not telling you that you got to carry it with you. I'm just telling you where I once was. I carried my Bible everywhere I went. When me and Carmen had our first date, my Bible was sitting there on the table at Red Lobster. Not because I was trying to impress her, it's just who I was. I didn't care if it impressed her or not, it's who I was. And I was driving home from a date with her one night and got pulled over by the cops. They wanted to know, first thing they said when they walked up to the first they got me out, they said, "You've been drinking." I said, "No, I was praying." I was actually praying in the spirit when I got pulled over. So I guess maybe you could say in a way I've been drinking. But anyway, so they, you know, once they figured out that I was just some nut, I didn't drink, they thought that was the weirdest thing they ever heard. But then when I got back in the car, a second police officer, he comes up to the window, and I had this leather fancy, wasn't fancy like frilly, but fancy anyway, this leather cover on my Bible. It just was like plain leather, raw leather. And it was laying there between the seats. And he says, "Is that a purse?" Well, it wasn't a purse. I said, "It's a Bible." He said, "What?" I had to pick it up and stick it up and say, "It's a Bible." He couldn't believe it. But I'm just telling you, there was a time when I carried a Bible with me everywhere I went. And as I said, I'm not saying you got to do that, but I'm just telling you this, we need that kind of passion and love for the Word of God, that we are so into Jesus that we love His Word. Amen. Well, let me tell you something else. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You want to know Jesus? You get to know the Word of God. Another way that we can return to Him by returning to our first works is by passionate worship. I tell you, it is evidence of Him being our first love. We need that kind of love for Him that we are excited about worshiping Him. Worship is our time to express our adoration and our love for Him, to acknowledge His greatness and who He is. We don't just worship out of ritual or habit. We don't worship, listen, just because we are moved by emotion, just because of some particular song. And I'll tell you, I'm a little bit puzzled by what's going on in our day. On the one hand, I can see that it's a good thing, but it concerns me that in our generation, thousands and thousands of people will go to an auditorium because a certain worship band is going to be there. Now, hear me now. As I said, I can see it's a good thing, wow, that so many people want to go to such an event and worship, and many times they'll even pay to get to go to worship somewhere. But what concerns me is that then they go home to their home church and they sit on a pew or stand in front of a black chair and act like a bump on a log, with no passion and no excitement for the Lord. I'm telling you, it's not about the music. It's not about a personality on the stage or a gift or an anointing on somebody. It's about Jesus. And when you're truly in love with Him, it doesn't matter who's leading or what the song is. You're going to find a way to worship Him because it's about Him. Young people, I'm not picking on you. I'm after all of us this morning, all right? But you go to camp and you run down front and you're all excited about Jesus, the same Jesus is here every Sunday. The truth is, that same Jesus is with you in your prayer time at home. I tell you, we need to be passionate about the Lord and worship Him like He is who He says He is. There's the first work. You go back to passionate worship. You know, sometimes the key, you say, well, I don't feel it. It's not a matter of what you feel it. That's what's wrong with the church in America. Well, if I feel like going to church, if I feel like doing something, if I feel like worshiping, we got it all backwards. You obey Him and you commit yourself, you devote yourself. Sometimes you just need to stir yourself up and you decide that you're going to be zealous for the Lord. And when you do that, I tell you, then the feelings will follow. But you can't allow your feelings to run your spiritual life. Another first work that I've seen over and over and over is that when people are truly in love with Jesus, they tell others. When you're in love with somebody, it's just natural to talk about them. And I want to tell you, when you're in love with Jesus, it ought to be natural for us to tell our friends and neighbors, tell people. Listen, you don't have to memorize 4,000 scriptures to talk to somebody about the Lord. You just need to be able to tell them what He means to you, how much He's done for you. Tell them how wonderful He is and why you serve the Lord. But telling others is one of those first works that show whether or not we're really where we should be with the Lord. Those first works show whether or not we need to make a change. And they also tell us the way back. Go back and do those first works again. Now I'm going to close with this passage from Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to read it. Most of you know the story well, but it begins Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. There was a man that had two sons, and one of the sons comes to him and he demands to have his inheritance. He says, I want what is mine. And he just wants to go out and live the way he wants to live and do what he wants to do. He doesn't want anybody else telling him what to do anymore. And so very arrogantly, he demands what is his, and he heads out and he spends and wastes his inheritance in wild and sinful living. And a famine comes in the land, and he is so poor and so hungry, finds himself in such a bad way that he's working for a pig farmer. And he wants to eat the pig food. That's pretty low. He wants to eat the pig food. And he finally comes to his senses. One translation, that's exactly the way it says it. He came to his senses. He realized where he was and how far he had fallen. He realized how bad of a situation that he was in. And all that he was missing out on. He said, even the servants in my father's house have plenty of food to eat. And I tell you, sometimes we need to realize we're not where we once were. We need to realize where we are so that we can return to where we need to be. But he said, I will go to my father and say to him, I'm not worthy to be called your son, and I'll make myself like one of his hired servants. And this young man that left in such arrogance and saying, I want to do what I want to do, he returns home with humility and with a servant's heart. And I want to encourage you this morning. Sometimes it's hard to admit that you're not where you need to be. Sometimes, you know, our human pride makes it difficult for us to say, Father, I've messed up. I've been wrong. Father, I haven't fully obeyed. Father, my heart isn't really where it ought to be. And it takes that humility. It takes the heart of a servant to come back to God and say, Father, I give you my life. I want to do anything you say. I'm willing to obey you, whatever it is, Lord. I lay my life before you as a living sacrifice. I'll do whatever you say. That's how you return. You see, you return by obeying in the things you haven't. You return by going back and doing the first works again, those works of love. you return in humility and with the heart of a servant. And you know what our Father does? He says, if you'll return to me, I'll return to you. And that Father is standing there watching for us. And as Jesus tells that story, the Father, when he sees the Son coming down the road, he gets up and he runs to meet him and embraces him and kisses him. And I want to tell you, he is telling us this is how our Father treats that one that's returning. He's not there to judge you. He's not there to condemn you. But he is waiting with open arms to welcome you. He says, return to me and I'll return to you.